Praise the Lord. Opera singer, gone gospel. Praise the Lord. Amen. So good to have someone in the house. You know, actually, Leanne sings opera. Ron sings opera. I sing opera. No. When I'm alone. Amen. I was going to imitate her, but I don't want to ruin it. You know, she don't want to leave a bad impression on you. Amen. So it's good to see every one of you today. We want to talk about Resurrection Sunday, of course. Amen. And I just want to pray that the Lord would just touch your heart and you receive what God has for you today. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to hear your word, and let it be rich in our hearts and guide our lives. Father, give us something that we can take home and let it be a difference in our life. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's Resurrection Sunday today. Is that right? Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's say it together. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You know, it was such a surprise to everyone that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, he told them that he was going to rise from the dead. And the apostles, what were they doing? They were fishing. They were hiding. They thought they were going to get crucified as well. But the ladies, oh my gosh, the ladies led the way, went to the grave, said, we're going to anoint the body. And now, men, that's not a good way for you to think that the women have to go out there. If there's something happening in the backyard late at night, you don't send your women out there to go out and see what it's like, amen? You go out there. But now you're not supposed to go out there anymore. You know, we have the chief of police. He said, if people are around the church here, don't go out there and try to, you know, negotiate with them. Let us do that. Amen. You know, you've seen the movies where the guy goes out with a fireplace poker stick, and you say, "Don't go out there. What's wrong with you? They're gonna knock you off." But so we have to know that God is with us. And what Jesus said, he says, "I want you to be of good cheer. Be not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what?" He didn't say condos. He didn't say high-rise. He didn't say cul-de-sac. He said a mansion. Oh, yeah. Do you like mansions? I like mansions, yeah. But God has prepared a mansion especially for you, that your likes and what you want. And he said, I will receive you to myself. Isn't that good news? Jesus will be there. It won't be like a cattle herd of everybody just rushing in. It'll be like, hey, welcome here, Cecilia. Good to see you. Amen. Good to see you, Vanessa. You come on in. Come on into the eternal resting home that we're going to have together. Now, the resurrection is the greatest comeback that we've ever seen. You know, when things aren't going good, it looks like you're losing. You know, it's the bottom of the ninth and you're down 10 runs and you come back. That's what Jesus did. He came back. I mean, he came from heaven. He was preaching good. He was healing the sick. He was making the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Crowds were coming in, and then they hailed him as King of the Jews on that triumphant Sunday when he came into Jerusalem on a donkey. Then 6 days later, they said, crucify him, crucify him. How fickle are they, aren't they? But so they did crucify him. They drug him through the streets of Jerusalem. They beat him. They scourged him. They put him up on a pole, on a tree, and he died. It was a terrible death. I want to read this to you. You know, Jim, what's his name? Caviezel. He played Jesus Christ in that movie, A Passion, The Passion of Christ. And here's what he said. He said he lost 45 pounds making that movie. He was struck by lightning once. He was accidentally struck twice during the scourging. It wrapped around him and left a 4-inch scar on him. He dislocated his shoulder when they plopped him down into the ground when he was on the cross. He suffered pneumonia and hypothermia from being naked with just a linen cloth. And he was so stressed and exhausted that from playing the role that he had to undergo 2 open-heart surgeries just doing what Jesus did. Amen? Now, here's a funny thing. Some producers say they saw some guys in white linen outfits walking around, and they didn't know who they were. They didn't hire them or anything. But when they went to the film and looked at it, those guys weren't there. Who were they? Some angels that were there helping him, amen? But Jim said he felt like Jesus. He felt like he had the love of Christ on him because he was just portraying what Jesus did. He loved us. People say, how much did Jesus love us? That much as it takes to open up your arms and be nailed to the cross. Praise God. So they took Jesus, but on the third day, guess what happened? Early in the morning. Say early. Early. He didn't wait till noon. He wasn't hanging around to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Early in the morning, he rose from the dead. Amen? He came back. Now, here's the amazing thing. He didn't just come back. He came back totally healed. Everything was wiped away, all the blood. He had all of his faculties. Now, he left the holes in his hands and the piercing in his side, and he let Thomas touch him and put his hand in there. He wants to have us remember what he did for us. So long ago, and it's going to be forever. We're forever going to be grateful to him. So he said, I am the resurrection and the life. You're looking at me. I'm going to raise you up, amen. That's good news for me, amen, because if we had hope in this world only, we would be all men most miserable. How many times a day do you walk around going like, Lord, I just can't wait till I get to heaven. I don't have to do all these things, you know. Pay all these bills, rotate the tires, it's just, how many things can you do in a day, amen? Praise the Lord. Especially if you have 5 kids, okay? Now that's going to be, we have a relative that has 5 boys, and we know Jonathan has 2 boys, and that's a lot of work. Me and Marianne, we had 1 boy, and that was enough, okay? So it's like playing juggling, you know, get him to the ballpark and going to school and all those things. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You're not going to have to worry about that in heaven. You just kind of float around and just be with Jesus and feel his presence. Now, I was listening to, you know, I like to see what's happening in heaven. Don't you, ahead of time? You know, when I went to Europe, I checked out the travel brochures to see what's out there, you know. And I talked to people that were there, and they told me what was to look for, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the David and all those things. And so I want to know what heaven's going to be like ahead of time, so I can get prepared. I want to see the sights. I want to know what's happening. And one lady was saying that she, in her mansion, in the back, in the mansion, was a swimming pool. I go, that's pretty cool. But she said when you dived in, it was like the love of God surrounded you right in the pool. It's like being, you know, in the throne with the water just dripping down or coming down. Oh, I mean, this is going to be great. All the things that we're going to do, the birds are going to be chirping and saying, Jesus loves you, and the flowers are going to cry out, God loves you. It's going to be wonderful. I can't wait to get there. But we have some time to do here. Amen? So Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I can raise your dead things again. You got any dead things? Any dead finances? Any dead marriages? Dead-end jobs? All these things that are dead. Jesus said, I can raise them up. I can bring love back in your marriage. I can rearrange your job so that you can have favor. He says, I can change things. Praise God. He's not a distant God. He's not a detached God. He's not a removed Jesus. He's not an aloof Jesus. He's not a faraway Jesus. He's there with you whatever you're going through. Amen? He doesn't say, don't bother me. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that good news? How many of you want to come to him? Amen? And get some rest, get some solace, get some peace in your life. Praise God. So you know what? No matter how educated you are, no matter how much you make, no matter how many friends you have, there are certain times you get into places that you don't know what to do. You're at a loss, you know. You don't have the ability, the mental ability, the physical ability, the talent to overcome what you're facing. But God is able to make all grace abound towards you. He can make things happen when you couldn't make it happen. But all you have to do is trust in him, believe in him. How do I know? Because I've trusted in him, I've believed in him, I've prayed to him, and I saw things change. How about you? Amen. The biggest change is us, isn't it? I mean, he took us from nothing, nobody, and made us somebody. Amen? I know my wife and I, we've been married 40 years, and that's a long time, praise the Lord. And she would ask me about things before we got married, and I said, I don't know. I don't know what I was doing. I can't remember. That's the old man. The Bible says, but the old man perishes, but the new man is being renewed every day. Amen? Amen. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what?
New
creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Brand spanking new, right off the showroom. Praise the Lord. Not renovated, not reconditioned, not touched up, but new, brand new. I don't know why I was doing the things that I was doing before. Seemed like a good thing to do. I was just having fun. But then when I accepted the Lord, I go, oh, I've been sinning. Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't know that I was sinning. So we have to know that we have a change. God changes us. Praise God. So let's, everybody knows the story of the Easter story. Don't you know the Easter story? But let's go back in time and put ourselves in their shoes and let's see what happens. So, Mary Magdalene and the two other ladies, they went to the grave. They had to go to anoint the body. The reason being is because when Jesus died, it was on a Friday, and the Sabbath was going to happen at sundown. So they had to quick take the body down, put him in the grave. They didn't get a chance to put all the ointment on him to keep him. And so they rushed him into Joseph of Arimathea's grave, tomb. And let's see if we see that. Did we see the tomb? There it is. Now, this tomb weighed 2,000 pounds, and it's on an incline, a groove, where it's easy to for it to slide down, but to pull it up, it's going to be too tough. You can't do it. 2,000 pounds, right? And so they went to the grave, and here's what it says in Matthew 27, verse 62. It says, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation for the Sabbath, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to say, Pilate, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise. Amazing that the chief priests and the Pharisees were believing and expecting Jesus to rise, but the apostles and even the ladies, they didn't believe that. What were they doing? And so even though Jesus told them 3 times, I will rise again. Has he told you things in your life? He said, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll take care of you. I'll be your guard. Amen. So therefore, in verse 64, they're telling Pilate, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples came by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. So Pilate said to them, okay, set a guard. Get some soldiers. Guard the tomb. Make it as secure as you know. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Let's see how they set the stone, Anthony. There you go. So what they do is they put a rope there, and they put a clay seal that had Pontius's name on it. And guess what? You can't break that seal, or guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Amen? They didn't mess around in those days. And the Roman soldiers, let's look at these guys. The Roman soldiers are there. Now, there's 4 of them, and they rotate every 4 hours. Now, you can't sleep when you're guarding the tomb. If you do, guess what? All of them have to pay the penalty and die. You can't even lean up against the wall. That's terrible, huh? How many of you just at home, and you're in the couch, and you're watching TV, and all of a sudden you fall asleep, you don't even know what happened, you wake up, where am I? I wouldn't have done good. I would have been like leaning up against the wall. Oh, hey. Get rid of them. Okay. So the Jews put up 3 safeguards so that it would be impossible for anybody to steal the body of Jesus. But what they didn't realize is Jesus could just walk right through the stone. He could walk right out. He didn't need the stone to be taken away. But why was it taken away? So that we could go in and see that there's no body there. That's what it was. So And Jesus lives on the inside of us, and he can get us through any situation that we're facing. It may look like there's no way out. The stone's there. The guard is there. Your situation is dead, but God will raise you up. I'm here to tell you, he will raise you up. So here are the obstacles. We got the stone that's 2,000 pounds with a groove in it. We got the seal of Pontius Pilate. That's the power that be, and you can't break it. And then you got the soldiers that are there. That's 3 impossibilities. How are you going to get through? But the ladies, they didn't know all those things. They just said, let's go. Let's go anyway. Amen? Amen. Sometimes you just have to go and do what you have to do. That's Yeah, you can't be sitting back and going like, well, I don't know if I can do that, praise God. You may have an interview that you think, I don't think I'm going to do very well. Just go, okay? You may have a doctor's report. You're afraid to go. Just go and make the appointment and see what he has to say, right? You have a meeting that you're not comfortable with. Just sit down at the table. See what God will do. You might have an evaluation that you're not looking forward to. Just go to it. I remember my son when he was working at another company, and he had this lady that was a lawyer from Vanderbilt or Cornell, one of those highfalutin lawyer firms, schools. And so her job was to make the other attorneys suffer, you know, to toughen them up so that they could, you know, do well in the world. And so she was picking on my son, picking on him, nitpicking, and he just couldn't take it anymore. And he told his boss, you know, this lady, I don't know what's wrong with her, but she's trying to toughen me up, but she's just rude, okay? So he calls me up. He had an evaluation with her. And he calls me up, and at 8:45, he says, Dad, I really don't want to go to this evaluation. I don't want to hear her, you know, nitpick me for a whole hour. I said, just go, son. Just go and, you know, bite the bullet. Just, you know, face the music. See what she has to say. And so he calls me at 9:10. I go, what happened? He says, she quit. She couldn't take it. The boss told her, you need to be nice. You need to quit, you know, harassing these people. So you never know what's going to happen. Just stay steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and God will deliver you. Praise God. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. With thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. So here we got these three immovable, unbelievable objects that they couldn't get through. So let's look at Matthew 28. So now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. The question is, where are the disciples? Where are these guys? You know, we don't know. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And I noticed in another gospel it says they went in, Peter and John went in, and the linen cloth were folded. So to the youth that aren't here, you're supposed to fold your clothes, okay, before you go to school, okay? If Jesus could do it in the midst of, you know, all this problem, you can do it. So here's the first hallelujah good news. You may have some problems coming your way. God can roll away the stone. He can handle the powers that are against you. He can handle the people that are opposing you. It doesn't matter. I know one time I was working for this company. Don't want to mention any names or any companies. But I made the mistake of having a phone interview in the middle of my work. That's not good, is it? No. I'm trying to get off the phone. I'm trying to be polite and everything and answer all the questions. And my boss is like, come on. You know, let's go to work. I go, I'll be right there, I'll be right there. And so I was, you know, trying to play both sides of the coin there. And finally, she said, she got fed up. She goes, you need to hang up and go to work. I go, I agree with you 100%. But she said, I'll talk to you in the morning. Ooh, that's bad news, isn't it? You know, I didn't get much sleep that night. I thought, oh, my gosh, there goes my job, there goes my pension, there goes my house, there goes everything. So I cried out to the Lord, Lord, can you deliver me? Can you help me? Can you save me? And I prayed and prayed and prayed. So the next morning I came in, and she said, well, I was kind of upset at you, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you away from what you were doing, and you're going to do something else. I go, whew, that's good news. But what I was in charge of the money for the expense reports. I would reimburse the people up to $75, and there was like $6,000 in the kitty. So every day I had to balance it out, and so they removed me from that. I've been doing that for 10 years, and I was kind of like, that's an insult, man. Why you do me like that? And so she had this other girl take over, and after about a year, the girl called in sick. She couldn't work that day, so I had to cover for her. And when I tallied up the monies, guess what? She was $800 short. And so I had to report it, otherwise it'll look like I took the money. So I called my manager down, and she looked at the money. She goes, I should have kept you here. I don't know why I did that. Can you take over now? And that lady, of course, got fired. But when God puts you in a place, he'll keep you in a place. I can remember when I was at a church in Pasadena, and they changed the senior pastor. And so the senior pastor wanted this other guy to be the assistant pastor. And I just humbly said, okay, I know this is my place. I know God's going to work it out for me. And so the guy got up, and he spoke well, but he just didn't have the anointing. He didn't have the flow of the Spirit. And so they cut him out, and guess what? They put me back in there. So you just have to know wherever you're at, God's going to fight for you. He's going to win your battles for you. Trust in him, believe in him, and he'll do it. Praise God. So here's what happened. The soldiers came to their senses, and they went to the chief priest, and he said, we blew it. I don't know how the body got out. This lightning came. Let's see the lightning in the tomb, the light that came in through the tomb, and they were knocked dead. Do you see it there? I don't see it. You see it? Okay, by the eye of faith. All right, here we go. Do we see it? There it is. Okay. It was so bright. It knocked the soldiers down. Let's see the soldiers being knocked down. So they went to the chief priest and go, man, we blew it. This light came. And let's see Jesus come out of the tomb. There you go. I love that. Isn't that cool? I'm coming out. Amen. I'm coming out. Look out. Look out, devil. Here I come. Praise. That's the way we got to get up in the morning, right? Here I come. I don't know what's ahead of me, but I know God is with me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I like that because I used to play baseball, and we were in the dugout, and we had to come up the trail, the ramp, to come up to play. And it just reminds me that he's ready to play, and he's been playing ever since. Praise God. So they went to the chief priest, and they said, hey, you know what? We got a problem. The stone's been rolled away. The seal has been broken, and the body's gone. What are we going to do? And the chief priest said, okay, we got an idea here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to say that you guys fell asleep and the soldiers stole the body. And we'll back you up. And here's some money. Just, you know, keep it hush-hush. Hush-hush money doesn't work, does it? So we have two stories. We got the disciples saying Jesus rose from the dead. And we have the soldiers saying we fell asleep and the disciples stole the body. Now, we have three reasons to believe that Jesus is still alive. Are you ready for these three unbelievable, unrefutable reasons why Jesus is alive? The first is found in 1 Corinthians 15. It says that Jesus was seen by Peter and all the apostles, right? Peter and John. And then 500 people saw him walk in the earth for 40 days. Some people say, oh, it was just an illusion. I don't think 500 people had an illusion. Do you think they had an illusion? No. They saw him, and that's a long time to be walking 40 days, isn't it? They saw him at the market. They saw him wherever he went. You know, he was there. Jesus was there. Praise God. And the second reason is that all these people died a horrible death because they would rather die than deny that the Savior has been risen. Now, lies don't last when punishment is being offered, do they? If you're lying and they say, if you don't tell the truth, we're going to torture you. Okay, I'll tell the truth, right? How far can you go? Now, let's see this. All of them died a horrible death. Matthias burned to death. James and Paul were decapitated. That's a gory thought. Thomas and Matthew were stabbed until they bled to death. Philip and Bartholomew were beaten with sticks until they died. James was stoned to death. John was thrown into a pot of boiling water, of boiling oil. Andrew was crucified. Peter was crucified upside down. And nobody's going to take that kind of punishment for a lie, are they? No. You know, my mom used to tell me this. When I was a young boy, and I would do things, and I would lie about it. Anybody ever lie about what you do? I don't know. I didn't do it, right? So my mom would sit me down, and look me in the eye, and he said, listen, son, if you did it, that's bad. But if you lied about it, that's double bad. And I said, do I want bad or double bad? I'll take bad, okay? And I always fessed up. So I took that little lesson when I was working at a church, and we have the guys that were doing community service. they would come in and they would do community service. And one time there was a lady, I don't know why she did this. She had like $200 in her purse and they stole it from her. And they had it in their socks and in their pants and everything. And so we got them all together. And we said, "Pull, you know, let me see your pockets." And we looked at their socks. And they, you know what they said? They said, "Well, our parents gave us this, and we were just trying to keep it, you know, secure." That's a lie. How could you prove it, right? So one guy, I got him cornered, and I go, "Listen," I did my mama thing. I go, "Listen, if you stole it, that's bad. But if you lie about it, that's double bad. So I'll tell you what I'll do. If you tell me the truth, I'll wipe out all your community service hours, and you can go." And he looked at me, and he went, "Okay, I did it." And he gave me the money, and he left. It worked. Parents, try that on your kids. If you did it, it's bad. If you lie about it, it's double bad. Okay, so we want to find out the third reason. You ready for the third reason? Now, this is the best reason to say and know why Jesus is alive. Why? Because he's changed our lives. He's alive in our hearts. We've been changed. We're not the same as we used to be. The things that we used to like to do, we don't like doing anymore. The things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. The things that we used to think about, we don't even like thinking about it anymore. We don't even have a taste for it. Why? We're changed. We're changed. I mentioned that my wife, we knew each other 40 years. We were married 40 years. But prior to that, we knew each other, and we weren't saved. And so then when we met each other again, we looked at each other, "You're not the same person." I go, "No, I'm not. I'm changed. Changed from the inside out." And we keep changing day after day. We keep getting better and better as the Lord ministers to us, talks to our heart. It reflects in our actions and in our life. And all of a sudden, we are secure in him. We have confidence to know that God is with us. Praise the Lord. So Jesus was the one that touched us. And so if you has been changed, say he lives. He lives. If you don't do what you used to do, say he lives. If you don't like to do what you used to like to do, say he lives. Amen. And the things that you never thought you would do, you wind up doing. You wind up helping people. You wind up loving people that are unloving. You wind up spending time with people that are, you know, not higher up in the echelon of life. You bend down and you have compassion. You have mercy upon them. That's only Jesus doing that in your life. Praise the Lord. So no one has touched humanity like Jesus did. God is with us. He walked with the people. He ate with the people. He slept with the people. He laughed with the people. He cried with his people. He was with the people, praise God, and he changed them. He makes you do things that you never thought you were going to do. All right? He makes you be something that you never thought you could be. He changes you from the inside out. He makes you be a good person where you weren't before. He makes you be a good husband, a good wife, a good neighbor, a good worker. Amen? Amen. You do things because God is watching you. Not because your employer is watching you, because you want to please the Lord. That's your whole goal, right? And who moves you? You ready for this? Who moves you and stirs you up more than Jesus? Who has touched your heart more than the Lord? Who gives you more fulfillment and completeness more than Jesus? Who is this man who consumes you and makes you think about him all the time? You know, I was playing basketball. And so I have a Muslim friend, and they pray 5 times a day, right? So I had this guy. Actually, I'm going to do his wedding. And he hurt his back. We're playing, and we have one more game to play, and his back was hurting. And he goes, "I know, Amir, I know you pray 5 times a day, but I know Pastor Chuck, he prays like every 5 minutes." I go, "More than every 5 minutes, like all the time? Like, don't hang up the phone, like, stay in contact with him, listen to him, watch him." So he says, "Yeah, I can't play, my back is hurting." What would you do in that situation? Excuse me. I said, "Excuse me, may I pray with you?" Sure. Put my hand on there. I said, "Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you heal this back. I thank you that you take the pain away in the name of Jesus." And I just stayed there for a minute, and I felt the tingle of the Holy Spirit and the heat, and I said, "Wow." So I said, "How do you feel?" He goes, "I feel great." I go, "Are you ready to play?" He goes, "Yeah." I was so surprised, I couldn't believe it. You know, Yeah, I mean, he's ready to play. Not even like, oh, let me test it out. No, I'm ready to play. Amen. Praise the Lord. So who is this man that takes over your conversations, your thoughts, your dreams, your actions? You can't go to bed without thinking about him. You can't wake up without thinking about him. Don't you think about him when you go to bed? Jesus, how did I do today? Jesus, you were wonderful. Thank you for getting me out of all my situations. When you wake up, Lord, are you with me today? Let's go. Let me feel your presence. You know, I don't like to go outside without feeling his presence. I don't know about you. Don't leave home without it, you know, sort of thing. Don't leave home without him. And if I don't feel him, I stay, I don't go. Lord, I go down in the living room. I say, okay, let's connect here. You know, I know you. You know me. Let's pray. Amen. Okay, he makes you do. Makes you go to the mission field when you didn't want to go. He makes you do anything. He's the I must. He's the I have to's. He's the I gotta do this. Don't you feel that? I gotta help that person. I can't just leave him. I can't, you know, abandon him. God is. I heard this one story. This minister. It's kind of interesting. He had this big property in his office in back east somewhere. And behind him was another acreage with a house on it. And so he wanted to buy that so he have a big, more acreage. And there was a house there. And so he went and talked to the owner and says, is that house for sale? He goes, yes, but there's a school teacher that really wanted it too. He goes, well, let her look at it and see if she likes it or not. And so the lady looked at it and she said, yeah, I really like it. It's my dream house. It's what I've really been believing the Lord for. And so the minister asked the Lord, Lord, do you want me to buy that place? And guess what the Lord said? Nothing. He didn't say anything. He said, well, Lord, do you want me to buy that place? And the Lord didn't say anything. So he went over to the owner and he said, you know, I'll let the lady buy the house. I know she's got kids. They're going to be running around. They're going to be causing havoc. They got dogs that are going to be barking. But if that's her dream house, I'll let her have it. And so then the minister asked the Lord, Lord, why didn't you tell me, you know, if I could buy the house or not? He said, I'll do whatever you want. I'm with you, but you're not a baby. You can make your own decisions. He had the heart of the Lord to give up what he wanted for someone else. That's only the Lord that will do that. That would forego. And he said, so they're making noise, they're in the pool, they're splashing, and the dogs are barking. He said, it was kind of good to hear those kids, you know, making noise. And one time the ball came over the fence, and he picked it up, and the kids yelled at him, throw the ball, old man. Old man, I'm going to. He said, he was playing with him. He was so heavy. He goes, it's so heavy, I don't think I could pick it up, you know. And he threw it over the fence. But see, those are the kinds of things where you give up of yourself. You don't think only of yourself, but you think about others. That's what Jesus does, right? So the other thing is, he gives you joy, unspeakable joy, and full of glory. Have you ever been more happier than knowing the Lord? Even if things aren't going well, you can go into your room, you can go into your closet, you can go into your private place and just talk to the Lord and he'll comfort you. Praise God. He's changed us. He's rearranged us. If you want to experience the resurrected Christ, now would be a good time to say, you know what? I haven't experienced that in my life. What you're talking about, Pastor Chuck, I haven't experienced that. I don't know the joy of the Lord. I don't know how his presence can fill me up and change my life. If that's you, I want you just to raise your hand. If you close your eyes and bow your head, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray over you. And you're going to pray with us all together, and we're going to see the Lord touch you. I've seen it happen so many times. It's such a joy because Jesus is stretching out his hand, stretching out his arms to receive you unto him, to be a part of the family, to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if that's you and you say, you know, the Lord's touched my heart, things you were talking about, I'd like to have that in my life. I'd like to see God work in my life and change my heart and my mind and my actions and my thoughts. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. We're going to pray together. And I see that hand. Praise God. I see that hand over there. Those over there. Praise God. Amen. I see that hand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad that you came to this resurrection service because he's resurrecting a newness of life on the inside of you. He said, unless a man be born again or born from above, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. So when you let his spirit come in on the inside of you, you'll see a change. And you'll not even recognize yourself. You won't even know, why am I doing these things? It's because the Lord is doing them through you. So let's, one more time, just raise your hands. If you didn't raise it the first time, you go ahead and raise it again. I see those hands. Praise God. Amen. So let's say this all together. Say, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. He died on the cross, paid the price for my sins. I thank you that you have forgiven me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Let the Lord touch you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I prayed for this one lady. I said, are you going to heaven? She goes, I hope so. I go, well, why do you say that? She says, I made a lot of sins. I go, that's okay. The Lord will forgive you of all of them. Isn't that nice to know? All of them, every single one of them, wiped, the slate is wiped clean. Kind of like that Etch-A-Sketch where you go like this and it just all leaves. Amen. Well, God is a great God, is he not? And Megan is going to sing How Great Thou Art. So just sit back, enjoy what God is going to do.